Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. Proverbs 3 and verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honour. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. Our theme is wisdom from above. Wisdom from above. Because we are sinners, we are fools. And so foolish does our sin make us that we have not even the wisdom to understand what wisdom truly is, nor do we see our own folly because we are so foolish. That is our condition by nature. And only the grace of God, only the Spirit of God working in us and teaching us the mind of the Lord delivers us or can deliver us from such foolishness. We are addicted to folly because we are addicted to sin. But according to God's word, wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord, and folly prevails when that fear is absent. But where does this wisdom come from? What is it? And what are its benefits? Well, we look at these things. First of all, the blessedness of being truly wise. The blessedness of being truly wise. Verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. So the man who is truly wise is the happy man. Verse 13. The man who has this wisdom, not only to understand what God's word teaches, but to love the truth and to see Christ in his beauty, this man is the happy man. This stands in contrast to the false wisdom of the world. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 8, verse 18, we find Solomon's conclusion when he sought the wisdom which only relates to things under the sun. Verse 18, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. He's speaking there about a wisdom that does not look beyond life under the sun. The wisdom that is devoid of the knowledge of God. And if we study things without reference to God, the result is grief and despair. That's why many people travel through life without giving serious thought at all, because it is better consider it better not to give serious thought to anything and simply to, as it were, stagger on in a fog of ignorance than to face the awful reality that without reference to God, nothing makes sense. Life is a complete nonsense, an emptiness, has no meaning, and the most reasonable result is complete despair. That's the wisdom that looks only at life under the sun. Solomon in Ecclesiastes studied life under the sun, and he tried every way to find meaning and purpose and an explanation, and there was none if we consider life simply under the sun. That is, life apart from the God of heaven. And that's why many are altogether thoughtless, because it's less painful than actually facing the stark reality that there is no meaning to anything unless we come to the God of heaven. And this wisdom is to be sought above all. Verse 14, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Wisdom, the believer's life in the fear of God, is to be sought above all. Wisdom, the merchantman traveling the seas for precious commodities, does not seek with greater earnestness than is due to this great treasure. The merchantman travels the seas looking for precious things. But this is telling us that we should be more earnest about seeking this true wisdom than he is in seeking the commodities he so much desires. It says that wisdom is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. This wisdom is worth seeking more than anything else. We spend much time seeking many things, but this is more important than those things that consume your attention and energies. Seeking this wisdom, this true wisdom. Secondly, the safety of being truly wise. The safety of being truly wise. Verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. This wisdom, this believer's life in the fear of God, tends to length of days and prosperity, whereas an ungodly life tends to shorten life and to bring even misery in this world. But then you will say, but it's self-evident, and so it is, that those who are godliest don't necessarily live longest and don't necessarily prosper more than the ungodly. We can all point to examples where exceedingly wicked men have prospered and had comparatively trouble-free lives, whereas we can point to believers, godly people, who have suffered much all their days. And that, of course, is true. It simply isn't the case that the believer has a more trouble-free life or a longer life than the unbeliever. But that is because of other factors that come into the picture. The sovereign disposings of God in providence, or suffering for righteousness' sake, these are other factors. But on its own, godly living is healthier than sinning. That's what it means. Godly living is better for you, even in this world, than sinning. That doesn't mean that other factors don't come into the picture, and so it isn't true that the godly man will have a smooth life. Christ tells the opposite. We must take up our cross daily and follow after him, and they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But what it is saying is that in itself, walking in communion with God is better for us, even in this life, than the life of the wicked. If there were no other factors than those two, then that would stand. And likewise, such godly living is both pleasant and peaceable. Verse 17, her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Though such peace can, in some respects, be disrupted by other factors, yet the tendency of walking with God through faith in Christ Jesus is to bring peace. Whereas the wicked are like a restless sea that casts up mire and dirt, only the believer has any possibility of true peace of heart and of conscience. Above all, the true wisdom and the knowledge of God and of his salvation is a tree of life. Verse 18, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. This wisdom, the gospel, has promises for this life and for that which is to come. The reference to the tree of life takes us back to the book of Genesis, chapter 2 and verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So there was a tree of life, and no doubt it was to declare the promise of life eternal in walking with God. But there was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of which they were forbidden to eat. Having eaten of that tree, we find at the end of chapter 3 in verse 24, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So what this is saying is that tree of life, that everlasting life, represented by that tree, man was banished from it on account of his sin. And yet there is a wisdom that is like the tree of life, and brings eternal life to those who are made wise by it and embrace that truth. Eternal life, from which we are banished by nature, is only recovered through the wisdom of God, Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. So 2 Timothy 3:15 speaks of the scriptures as able to make wise unto salvation. Wise unto salvation. This wisdom, which actually comes from God through his word, by the Spirit, makes sinners who deserve damnation in hell wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22 and verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There the gospel of Christ and its benefits in eternal life are described in all their heavenly fullness, that those who have this life in them in this world, it blossoms to its perfection, its fullness, its abundance in that world which is to come. So the fruit of the gospel tree of life is not only sweet to our taste in this world, but rather also for those who are made willing to seek it and embrace it, it brings eternal blessedness with it. So then, this wisdom is the source of blessedness and the source of safety. Those who are truly wise through faith in Jesus Christ, they have blessedness even in this present life, and they have the hope of glory in the world to come. But then, thirdly, the only wise God, the source of true wisdom. The only wise God, the source of true wisdom. Verse 19, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens, by his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. We are now being taken to the source of all true wisdom. That is the all-wise God, whose wisdom is shown in all his works. It's as if we're being told, look, this is where you must seek this wisdom, from the God of heaven, whose wisdom is displayed in his creation and providence. It refers to the creation of the world. Verse 19, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. That is, the creation displays the glory of God, and in particular, the wisdom of God. That God created this world and this universe is a display not only of his power, but of his wisdom, that he made it as it is. And it talks about the Lord having founded the earth, and by understanding, he established the heavens, the stars, and the galaxies. God has established them all, and they demonstrate his wisdom as well as his power, that he had the ability to create, the power to create the universe in such a way, and the wisdom to create it in such a way that the earth is fit for man to inhabit it. In other words, the creation tells us God is wise. We are naturally foolish, but God is wise. And if we want to be wise, We must be made wise by God. And then verse 20, by his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. That is, God in his knowledge and wisdom caused the waters to be formed into oceans and seas and rivers and streams, and even to be gathered up into the clouds to drop down dew upon the earth. God did this. The wise God, the all-wise God, he has done this. And this God, this all-wise God, speaks to men. That's the wonder of it. He actually speaks to men. Isaiah 45 and verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There the Lord created the heavens and the earth. He created the earth, not to leave it a void, but to be inhabited by man. That's why this earth is exactly right for man to live in. Not some chance process of evolution over millions of years. It was made that way. Made for the habitation of man. But then verse 19, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. This great God has spoken to men. This all-wise God who made everything by the word of his power has spoken to men. These works show the wisdom of God, and they show our lack. So in Job chapter 26 and verse 7. Job 26 and verse 7. He stretcheth out the north over the empty places and hangeth the earth upon nothing. God caused the earth to be as it is, to be there. The reason it's there and we can live on it and it has an atmosphere that we can survive and live in is because God put it there and put man upon it. So Psalm 93 and verse 1. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. We are on this earth, an earth that remains habitable by men because of God. Because God is all wise. And he challenges puny man, even the godly Job when he got above himself in chapter 38 and verse 3. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors, when it brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it. This great God, he did these things. And he's telling Job, where were you when I did these things? You explain these things to me if you're so clever. Modern man is still at it. He thinks he can explain it instead of being taught by God. The theory of evolution is not an expression of science, but an expression of pride. It's not an expression of true science, but of pride, human pride. And that in two respects. One, man wants to pretend he knows what he cannot know unless God tells him. That's how the earth came here. And the other thing is to try and deny the reality of the Creator, because a Creator is someone we are accountable to. And the last thing the sinful heart of man wants to believe is that he is accountable to the God who made him. Psalm 104, verse 8. Psalm 104, verse 8. Speaking of the creation, this whole psalm follows the days of creation. Psalm 104, verse 8. Talking of the waters, they go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys, unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. Why are the waters as they are in the seas, the oceans, and then the clouds gather up rain and it comes down, and the rivers and the streams, why are they so? Because God has made them so. And these works of God show the riches of the wisdom of God. Verse 23, man goeth forth unto his work and to his labour until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. The earth, the creation, demonstrates the wisdom of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And this great God, who shows not only his power but his wisdom in the creation, also shows his wisdom in the way he saves sinners. He shows himself to be not only the holy, just, and gracious God, but he shows himself to be the all-wise God in the way of salvation. Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, and verse 9 and 10. Speaking of the church of Jesus Christ, Ephesians 3, 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which is from the beginning of the world, hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. God demonstrates his wisdom. Indeed, he demonstrates the glory of all his attributes to the angelic world by the church. The way he saves sinners and builds his church, the church of the redeemed. God displays his glory in his works of creation and providence, and he displays his glory especially in the way of salvation, the way he saves sinners through the mediator, Jesus Christ. This is the all-wise God. Now then, we cannot be wise independently of this God. Just as we cannot be blessed independently of the ever-blessed God, so we cannot be really wise apart from the all-wise God making us so. We're naturally fools, and only God makes us wise. God is blessed forever, and no man will be blessed except in him. God is all wise, and no man is truly wise except through him. The world is full of very intelligent, capable, gifted fools. All gospel evasion is folly, foolishness. If you keep away from coming to Christ and think that that's the clever thing to do, you are one big fool. If you think it's wise not to get involved with this Christianity thing, just, yes, go through the motions to keep others happy, but don't really take it too seriously, then you're a fool. And this is the height of your folly, that you think your unbelief is wise. It's also the height of your sin. But it is your foolishness. You're on the broad road that leads to destruction, and you think you're being smart by keeping the gospel at arm's length. We cannot be wise unless we have wisdom from God. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, the Father of lights, with whom is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. We need wisdom from this God. This God who displays his wisdom, by wisdom created the earth and the heavens and the sea and the dry land. This God is the only source of wisdom for men. Stop playing the fool. No, it's worse than that. You're not playing the fool. You're being a fool. That's what we are by nature. And we need to be renewed by the Spirit of God in order to be willing to depart from that folly and seek the true wisdom in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's my duty to tell you that you must. You must face reality. If you've been dodging and weaving the word of God as it's been declared to you all this time, it needs to stop. Man hid himself in the trees of the garden when God came to him. He couldn't run away from God, and nor can you. Your sin will find you out. God will find you. God will judge you. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. You can't run away from God. You can try, but you cannot succeed. But why should you, when this great God has spoken words of peace and of mercy and of salvation to sinners? Face the reality. You are a sinner. God is holy. God is just. God does punish sin. But there is mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners, who bore the vengeance, the wrath, the judgment, the punishment of God in the place of guilty sinners. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians and chapter 1, the Apostle Paul speaks of God's wisdom and man's. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He's saying that God in his wisdom has so exposed the pseudo-wisdom of man that men by their own wisdom did not know God. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. This apparent foolishness of preaching a revealed message from God about the crucified Saviour. God saves sinners by that means. The world thinks it's ridiculous. Men declaring Christ crucified, claiming it's a message from God given to men in the Holy Scriptures. But God saves sinners through this message and no other. Verse 24, we'll go further back. Verse 22, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. The Jews require a sign. Why should we believe this message of Christ crucified? Give us a sign and we will believe on thee, they said to Christ. He'd given them plenty of signs, but they had no intention of believing, no matter what signs were given them. And the Greeks seek after the wisdom, after wisdom. But the gospel is wisdom. Yes, but they want a wisdom that man produces himself. That's why they thought the Apostle Paul was a fool, because he refused to play the philosopher and to claim originality out of his own mind for his ideas. He said, no, it's a message from God. So the Jews thought they were too good and the Greeks thought they were too clever to trust in Christ crucified. But unto them which are called, that is, those who are effectually called, those in whose hearts the Spirit of God works effectually, changing their hearts and their wills, Christ is received and seen to be the Saviour, the one in whom God's saving power is displayed and his great wisdom. So God saves this way, in a way that displays his wisdom and shows the foolishness of man's imaginary wisdom. He saves through Christ crucified, being declared by preachers. He doesn't use the spectacular means, just ordinary, mortal, sinful men declaring the truth of a crucified Saviour and telling men that they must trust only in Him. If you're ever going to be wise, the wisdom must come from God, by the Spirit, enabling you to believe His word that there is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the God of heaven, who made the earth, the sea, the dry land, and all that in them is, whose wisdom is displayed in the work of His hand, this infinitely wise God declares His way of salvation to you. To you is the word of this salvation sent. Seek the wisdom that comes from God. Seek the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners, who receives all who come to Him and delivers them from their guilt and makes them accepted before this all-wise and holy and just and gracious God. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious and eternal God, we bless Thy holy name. We thank Thee that Thou hast spoken to sinners, spoken truly, spoken things that are right. Thou hast not said unto the house of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. We thank Thee for the promises of Thy word, and blessed are all they who trust in Thee. Enable us then, O gracious God, to receive Thy truth. Deliver us from our natural pride and folly, and give to us that grace from above, that meekness, that humility of mind, and that wisdom from above to rest upon the truth as it is in Jesus. And all that we ask is for Christ's sake. Amen.